I'll be reading out of Proverbs 31, verse 10. We'll be reading out of the NAASB. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels.
Thank you, Brooke. Good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful day to love and serve the Lord. Today is a beautiful day outside, and today we're honoring our mothers. It just doesn't get any better than that. So I usually like to start out with a short story, and it happens to be about two gentlemen that were very passionate about baseball, and they were in their middle ages. And one evening they got into a dispute, and they were still playing in an adult league. They got into a debate about whether or not that there would be baseball in heaven. And they made this pact with one another that if one of them would happen to pass first, that they would have to come back down and tell the other one whether or not there was or was not baseball in heaven. So some time went by, and one of them had passed away. And about 2 weeks later, he came back down to his friend, and he said, "I have some really good news, and I have some bad news." He says, "The good news is that, yes, there is baseball in heaven. The bad news is you're scheduled to pitch next weekend." So... So, with that, we are going to be looking in the book of Galatians, and we'll be in Galatians 5. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn there, we'll get into that momentarily. So I'm going to try to attempt today to talk a little bit about our ability to reason right from wrong, and then how that ties back in with our relationship with Christ. So as we look at Galatians 5, let's start in verse 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Now, this seems like a fairly simple message, but it's so difficult to implement. You see, we have these things out here in our lives that we want to do, but somehow deep inside, God gives us this innate ability to know that that's probably not a good thing to do. It's called our conscience, where God can talk to us and reason with us to help us tell right from wrong. And it even starts at a very young age. So I can remember my oldest daughter, who's 24 now, her name's Stacy. She was just a little toddler. She could barely walk. And in our living room, we had the stereo with all the buttons and dials on it. And she would always walk up that in the evening, and she would walk up to there, and she would just get ready to push, and then she'd turn around and look to see what Mom and Dad were doing. Now, somehow, God gave us the ability, even at a young age, to know that there are consequences to our actions. So she knew that if I push that button or turn that dial, something is going to result in that. Now, what's interesting, it was about a year ago, I was reading a journal, and I don't read medical journals, but I happen to be, I think I was in a doctor's office, I don't even remember where it was at, but there was an article in there about men, young men in particular, and it said that when young men's brains are developing, okay, there's a component of it that's delayed. And that component is it for them to realize consequences. And that isn't fully developed in men until their mid-20s. And I'm like, no kidding. I mean, why do you think insurance companies don't charge young ladies as much for vehicle insurance as they do young men? So, somewhere along the line, a young man's brain doesn't develop fully, realizing, if I do this, this might happen. So, let me give you an example. There's a group of young men and girls, and they decide they're going to go to the quarry and go swimming. And the guys go up onto the cliff, okay? And so the one boy is saying, "You know what? If I run fast enough, and I get the correct trajectory, I bet I can do a backflip off this and not hit those two big rocks down there." Okay? So He's not thinking about the consequences that might result from the actions. And his buddies are over there saying, yeah, go for it. You can do it. Go for it. While the girls are standing over here, they're saying, our boyfriends are complete idiots. What are they thinking about? And that just goes to show you that sometimes it's hard for us to deal with the situations that we're in our daily lives. So let's continue and look at verse 19. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Now, what's interesting about that, there are two key words in understanding that verse. One of them is, when it first starts out, it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Somehow, God has instilled in us the ability to reason right from wrong. It's evident to us that if I do this, it's going to be in contrast with what was just said earlier about the Spirit being involved in our lives. So we've got this constant battle going on with ourselves about, I know this is right, and I know this is wrong, but I really like to do the things that are wrong. In fact, it even says that in that same verse. It says right at the end when I talked about in verse 21, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these. That tells us that there's things out there. I had a friend that was in a Bible study with me quite a few years ago, and after this list was ready, he's going, whew, I'm off the hook. I'm not on. One of those things is not listed that I do. So that's not what this scripture is about at all, because it says in things like these. So this is not an all-inclusive list. There's plenty of things out there that tempt us and force us to do things that we don't want to do, but it's because we're not focusing on the Spirit. Because God's grace is awesome, and He gives us the ability to have and resist those temptations. It also says later on, after he says in verse 21, the envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the likes of these things, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So again, he's going a little bit further in this verse saying, okay, there are certain things that we do and we keep repeating it. Even though we might know it's wrong, we're beginning to become very good at it because we practice it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, we all have things in our lives that we struggle with. And when we continue to do it, we get good at it. It's just like any kind of an athlete. If you're a golfer, and the more you practice, the better you get at it. Frank knows what I'm talking about. I mean, our lives are a constant battle between right and wrong. But when we're with God and we're with the Spirit and we're living in Christ, it helps us ward off those temptations of the things that drag us down. But there's hope. And that is what is discussed just a little bit later in the fruits of the Spirit, still in Galatians 5. Let's look at verse 22. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against these things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So God gives us hope that the things over here that we have to deal with on a daily basis that are really tough for us, the hope is that if we focus our lives on Jesus Christ, and we continue to live a life that praises Him and worships Him, He's going to give us the strength that we need to fight those temptations. Amen. Now on Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we have to live by it in order for us to get the full appreciation of God's love. Now today is Mother's Day. And mothers are special in that God has blessed them with a sixth sense and an ability to understand the human element far better than any man can. I mean, I think most of us guys will agree with that. There's just something about a mother's intuition that sets them apart. And us guys, we just don't get it. I can remember my mother, whenever she used my middle name, I knew something was up. Because she would say, I would be thinking about something that was going to get myself in trouble, and she would say, Kurt Anthony. And that's all she'd have to say. And I'm thinking, dang, how the heck does she know that? I mean, what gives her that inner ability to understand that? And women just have that, particularly mothers. You know, they have been blessed by the hand of God with women's intuition that gives them the ability to have feelings and emotion and emotions that men just do not get. I grew up, I have three sisters and two daughters. I have no brothers and no sons. So, you know, I have been around women my whole life. My mother, my father was always on the road. So, they remind me of this frequently. So I'm going to tell you a little story about my mother. And I typically don't do this, but this one is unique because today's Mother's Day. So, my mother, from the time us kids were very little, would tuck us in at night and would teach us to pray. And she was a faithful, godly woman. And from the time I started young to the time I left home to leave for college, we would pray together, and then Mom would say, please pray for your dad so that he will quit drinking. See, my father was an alcoholic, and that put a lot of hardship on our family. But Mom, she always taught us to do that. So it was, I had just graduated from college, had been gone from home about 4 or 5 years, and my mom called me, and she said, Kurt, you're never going to believe this. She said, your dad hasn't had a drink in 2 weeks. See, we had this refrigerator in our basement, and he always kept it stockpiled with beer, because that's all he drank was beer, and it got empty, so he went and he bought a case of beer, and he set it in that refrigerator, and 2 weeks later, every beer was still there. He hadn't touched it. And this was miraculous. So I asked my mother, I said, well, what changed? What was different? And she said, all those years that we were praying, I was praying the wrong thing. Even though I was faithful and asking God for what I felt was needed, it wasn't. And I changed my prayer a few months ago to say that, God, please prick the heart of my husband so that he can understand your love, your grace, and your mercy, and that you will use him in a way that you only know best. So she began praying that, and then miraculously, a few months later, my dad quits drinking. Both my parents are deceased now, but he went and never drank the rest of his life. And soon after that, God knew there was more in store for him. So one Sunday morning, my mom went to church by herself for years and years and years. He gets up on a Sunday morning and says, all right, what clothes am I wearing to church? And she said, I didn't say anything. And like, hallelujah, what the heck took you so long? She said, I didn't say a word. I just went over to the closet, picked out some clothes, and laid them on the bed. And he went to church with me, and he continued to go to church. Wasn't too much longer. He was baptized. He became a deacon, and he led prayer in a church. And I'm saying, praise God that that happened, because he took a hardcore alcoholic construction worker, and he moved him in a way that was just incomprehensible to me. So sometimes we have to change our approach and how we approach God. I kind of liken it to the story of the little boy who's in his backyard. And he has his baseball on his bat. And he grabs that baseball and he throws it up into the air and he says, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he swings and he misses. He then reaches down again and he's not distracted, throws it up again, says, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he swings and he misses. Third time, same result. Throws it up, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Miss. So he stands there for a moment and says, I'm going to change things up a little bit. So he reaches down, picks up the ball, and throws it up, and he says, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. And he swings, and he misses. So it was... some of you get that on the way home. It's sometimes about how we approach our Lord and our Savior and about what we ask. Because what we think, what we thought for years and years and years was, God, please help my dad quit drinking, when in all actuality, God had a whole lot bigger things in store for my dad about being a leader in a church and being baptized. And sometimes we forget that God is so powerful, and we sell ourselves short, but we need to ask big. So you see, we have a lot of people in our lives that we know and we see, and we have a lot of things in our lives that we get hung up on. But the key thing that we need to think about is that God doesn't really care where you've been. What He cares about is where you're going. And we need to be able to recognize when folks come into our midst and they've got issues and they've got problems, just remember back in Galatians 5 that list is not all-inclusive, and we got our hang-ups too. And we can't look down on others because we're gossiping about the same issue, or we're envious, or we're doing things that are also on the list, and I didn't see a ranking there at all. Those are sins, and they're all sins. So we need to be able, Doug, to be able to look at our lives, and when people enter it, we need to be able to say, you know what, God doesn't care where they've been. What He cares about is where they're going. The interesting thing is that it's hard for us at times to realize that God's got a plan for everybody. So we need to accept people for where they're at, and allow God to move them to where they need to be. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
I mean, God can work miraculous things in our lives. I swear to you, if it wasn't for my mother and my wife, I'd be laying face down in a ditch somewhere. No doubt. Because of the lobe of my brain that wasn't fully developed took a lot longer than 25 years. And I know some of you are probably saying that about your husbands. Yeah, because I did a lot of stupid things when I was a young man. And for some reason, God's grace and the prayers of those faithful were able to turn me around and were able to allow me the opportunity to understand God's grace in a whole lot different way than I used to. So Brooke read a scripture today on a virtuous woman. And I really like the New King James Version of that. The ones we read earlier, the scripture was out of the New American Standard Version. But in the New King James, Proverbs 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." And today is a special day. There are some wonderful people in here. I've lived in Des Moines 6 months now. I think most of you that know me know my wife is in Knoxville, Tennessee. I have a daughter in Maryland, another daughter in West Virginia. So we're kind of spread out, but we're a very close family. And the way that I have been accepted in this congregation is just awesome, because I don't have family here. And when I started visiting here, you accepted me and you openly invited me back. So I thank you for that, and I am in truly awe of the ladies in this congregation and all that you do. You're blessed to have this type of a congregation where people love one another and people care about one another, because I have been all over the country. I think most of you know that I travel a lot with my job, and I've worked in about 40 different states. So I've attended churches all over the United States, and there's something unique about Hickman Road. You're special, and ladies, I hope you have a blessed Mother's Day. And before I close, I want to do something where the men of the congregation, if you're able, we're able to honor our mothers and our wives and our sisters and our daughters, and let's approach God on bent knee. And so, men, if you're able, and if you're not, that's fine. Would you take a knee with me, and let's go to God in prayer and honor our women of the church. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. And we, the men of this congregation, come before you today on bended knee, giving you our thanks for the beautiful women that you have brought in our lives, for all the things that they do to help build up the kingdom, for the blessings that they provide and the people they influence. Help us always to be supportive of their deeds. Help us to praise them and honor them. For Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the example you lived and the life that you gave on our behalf. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So with that, we always like to offer an opportunity for anyone in need that may have some items that are bothering them, some situations in life that all occur to all of us. And I would like to take this time as we sing our last song that Doug's going to lead, to take that opportunity to offer you an invitation.